Welcome to None of This Is Real,
the podcast for all things mysterious and weird.
I'm Doomsday Damini.
And I'm Sarah St. Cole.
Also, you're freaking me out again with your weird face.
I had to go scary because we're doing scary stuff today.
It's very creepy, and I'm so, so glad we're recording during the day because I can't with your face.
It's pretty bad. Yeah, Levon didn't want to look at me. Lauren was like, ew, no, I hate this. Go away. So, I know it's a good look again. Here's the thing. It's inspired by what we're talking about today, which is a creepypasta. And my look is inspired by Jeff the Killer.
Oh, God. That's such a spooky image.
All right. Are you ready? I made Levon a Jeff the Killer mask.
No, are you going to put on a Jeff the Killer mask?
I'm going to put it on.
The trauma you've already caused.
Yes, I am. Ready? Oh, I can't.
No! I hate... I'm going to throw up. Please take it off.
Okay, I took it off.
Ew! That thing. Yeah. Lord of mercy.
Yes,
you did.
Levon likes creepypasta, and he said, hey, will you make me a Jeff the Killer mask? And I was like, sure. And as soon as I finished coloring the mouth in, I was like, this was a big mistake. I should not have made this. It's terrifying.
Has he worn it?
Yes, he wears it with the wig I'm wearing. And he, like, went out and scared the crap out of Lauren when he got home from work one day.
Oh, no. Just wait till he's a teenager at Halloween.
Oh, it's already... 2 or 3 years ago, he dressed as a creepy clown, and he was, like, you know, really tiny. And everyone was like, it's so much scarier when it's small!
A tiny, creepy clown.
That's my child.
Yeah, so you kind of also have a slit mouth lady thing happening, and then you have those Jeff the Killer eyes.
I tried.
I think Jeff the Killer, I don't know the whole story, but it's so creepy to me because Jeff is such a normal name, such a regular old name, and then it's that.
Right. It's that. I have it propped up next to the screen of my laptop, and it's just, I can't stop making direct eye. I'm going to move it. Hold on. Go over there, Jeff. I can't look at you right now, Jeff.
Oh my God, if you make another mask, you and I could do some TikTok videos in it, like a Jeff the Killer mask and...
I'll make another creepy pasta mess. I'll do it. I'll get right on it.
If I'm wearing it, I won't be scared.
No, but you won't be able to look at me, though.
I'll try not to.
It's good advice.
Well, hey, did anything weird or mysterious happen to you lately?
Oh, gosh. So many things. What a time to be alive.
Isn't it?
Let's see. Oh, so we got this thing in the mail. And it says it's from St. Matthew's Churches in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this is the kind of shit that we used to get in the mail all the time as kids, but I haven't seen it in years. And the front of the envelope, can you see?
Yeah.
It's highlighted. And it says, this very old church loans this to you to bless someone connected with this home. Then it must go to another family that desires God's blessings.
It's a religious chain mail?
It is. And it's like, you mail back this letter with the prayer rug that they've enclosed, and then you will get an angel medallion? I don't understand. I don't know.
Prayer rug?
Yes, I'll show you the prayer rug.
Okay.
I received this church prayer rug you loaned me, and I used it as instructed in this letter of faith. Now I'm returning it to you for another to use. So I don't know if that means that this prayer rug has been... in somebody else's mailbox, and I'm like, hello, Rona, why are we doing this? This feels wrong. Anyway, so you can check which one you need, right? So it says, yes, I do need the Lord's blessings upon my family and me. Pray for my family and me for a closer walk with Jesus, and, you know, all the normal stuff, health, blah, blah, less confusion in my home. To stop a bad habit, a better job, a money blessing, right? And then they send you can send them money. You can send them a seed gift. But here's the prayer rug.
Oh, I know him.
It's a spooky sort of looking Jesus.
It looks like he's in a coma.
Says, yes, it's very, I'm not a fan. It says at the bottom, are you ready? Look into Jesus' eyes. You will see they are closed. But as you continue to look, you will see his eyes opening and looking back into your eyes.
Yep. Jesus, no!
No, Jesus! That's too creepy. It gets weirder. Then go and be alone and kneel on this rug of faith or touch it to both knees. Then please check your needs on our letter to you. Please return this prayer rug. Do not keep it.
Don't keep it. Get it out of there.
Yeah, right? It's kind of ominous. Wait,
did you try looking at Jesus's eyes and then like...
I haven't yet. I'll do an update on the next episode. I'll try it.
Oh, Lord.
The last thing, real quick, I just want to read this that says, I do not know if something has happened or is about to. Let's pray for family. Just randomly. Yeah, I'm
sure something's about to happen all the time.
Yeah. I could keep going. There's so many weird little things, but I won't. Okay. I will stop here. I'll post pictures of it on the Instagram so everybody can see it.
That's wild. I've never seen one of those.
Isn't that bonkers?
It's a bit bonkers.
So yeah, that was weird. What weird thing are you going to tell me about?
Well, I've gotten some interesting stuff in the mail too lately. We got something from a church and I almost saved it to read to you, but it wasn't that weird. It was like they were inviting us to a virtual service from some church I've never heard of. And I was like, how did you get my address?
Right?
And then I donated last year to the Southern Poverty Law Center, so they sent me a hate map. A map of hate.
Oh.
Have you seen these?
Wow. No.
It's a map of the United States, and it has little dots, little color-coded dots where all the hate groups are.
Oh, wow.
And they're everywhere. I mean, it was very informative, but
sure,
also
yes.
A bummer.
Big bummer.
And then other than that, I'm not really experiencing a ton of weird stuff right now. I'm having a bunch of weird dreams, but like mostly
oh, yeah.
I've
Me
been
too.
Very, I don't know what to, how to describe this. I don't like it.
Oh,
I feel like
gosh.
a coil, like a
spring like, that's
yes.
squeezed together. Okay.
And so today I tried to walk the dogs. Emphasis on tried. So I try to go out the back door, and between the wooden door and the screen door, there's a wasp. So I was like, I'm shutting the door. We're not going to go out that way. I'm not dealing with it right
okay.
now.
Good thing I have two doors.
Yes. Thank goodness for these two doors. So we go, and it's just getting on my nerves so bad. I just didn't have the patience. Styx isn't leash trained all the way. And
oh, that's fun.
I was just like, you know what? We're going home. I'm turning us around. I'm taking us home. So I turned around and I took a shortcut through the woods to get back to the house because I was like, I can't. I mean, they still got a 15 minute walk. It was fine, but like,
right. No one's judging your pet ownership. I don't know what to call that.
Stewardship, whatever.
Yes, that. Mm-hmm.
I just can't today. I can't. For like the last week, I can't. I'm having a really hard time canning.
I just can't. You know what? It happens.
But I'm proud of myself. Through all of the canting, I've been very like, okay, deep breath. We're taking the dogs home. You know what? Like that kind of thing.
That's good. That's good. My child has been trying my patience like crazy this week. But this week I have had extra patience somehow. That's good. At least the roles weren't reversed.
I know why. It's because you secretly, you're not telling me, but you got down on that prayer rug.
I did, and then now there's less confusion in my home.
I mean, I could always use less confusion in my home and all the, like, most of the things they said.
This is true.
But I'm not going to do that thing.
No, I don't want to stare into Jesus's closed eyes until they open. I don't want to do it.
You know what?
What?
Sarah, okay, so this week, Turkey Buzzards, we had such a big topic, we didn't realize how long it would be, so this is going to be part one of a two-part episode.
This Woo-hoo! Is part one of two parts of two servings of creepypasta.
Yes, because we know you're hungry for some creepy pasta.
That's right.
But yeah, we're going to take turns telling you a creepypasta story that we just know and love, and Sarah's going first.
I'm going first. It's my turn.
Yay!
And I'm going to tell you Anansi's Goatman story.
I'm scared already.
I know you are. It's okay.
I've
just
never
it's gonna
heard
be okay.
this whole story.
And well, get ready.
I did not look at any of it because I wanted you to scare me.
I'm going to scare you. I'm going to scare your pants off. So put a belt on.
You're going to pop my goat man cherry.
Oh, God, no. Ew. I hate what you just said.
That's why I said it.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to cite my source now.
Okay.
You nasty. Creepypasta.fandom.com. And that's it.
Oh, boy. Okay. That's it. And that's
all. All right. So first of all, this was posted on 4chan. In 2012. Okay, and then the person who posted this on Creepypasta, they said they had done some editing already from the original, just to make it flow and fix some issues, I guess. And then I was like, I can't, this thing is way too long. So I have excerpts from the actual story, and then I have some summarizing that I have done, just to make this go a little faster. And I'll tell you which is which. You'll probably be able to tell, but I'll tell you anyway. Okay. I'm going to start off by quoting the story. The tip of the tongue, the teeth, and the lips. Unique New York. Unique New York. Okay. Here's my story. Be 16. Be black and have family down in Alabama. They farm and own a huge amount of land down in Huntsville. Uncle owns a big house and a bunch of trailers they put out in the woods for hunting or camping. Down south, cousins suggest we go out there to camp. No, I'm a city kid from Chicago, so they tease the fuck out of me. Collect food, kill a pig and some chickens, and bring necessities to camp out for a few days. We get to the camp, and it's obvious something is weird. Air has this weird electric smell, like right before a storm, like ozone. We think nothing of it and unpack and go down to a little creek to swim for a few hours. All of a sudden, some older white guy and a white teenager come out of the bushes. He has a shotgun in the crook of his arm and says hello and asks us what we're doing this far back in the woods. Tells him about my uncle, who he knows, and say we're camping out. He tells us we need to be real careful out here and stick together. There was a big animal in the woods. His son, who is my age, asks if he can stay and hang out with us. He says, okay. So that's where we're at.
I like it so far. It sounds like a journal entry.
It is very journal entry-like. So there's the white kid, Tanner, five of my cousins, and then four of their friends. In total, there are five girls and six boys. We were all around 15 to 17. Okay, so here's my summarizing. When it starts to get dark at about 7 o'clock, Tanner and two of the kids go to his house to ask his parents for permission to camp with them. So they leave. Now back to the narrator. I'm going to refer to this person as the narrator. About 30 or 40 minutes later, there's the smell of ozone again. You can smell it over the smell of the fire we had started. This really nasty coppery smell, like right after you've had a nosebleed, and it stopped. It wasn't exactly like dried blood, but it was that nasty metallic back of your throat smell.
Oh, God.
Ugh. We immediately think that it's some kind of electrical malfunction or someone left a hot plate on or some shit. We search the trailers and nothing is on and we can all smell it. All of a sudden, we can hear people booking down the path toward us and Rooster, Tanner, and the girl all come running into the clearing out of breath. And they don't even break stride. They all run into the trailer right by where the fire is. We all get the fuck out of there and into the trailers. They end up calming down. Even Rooster is crying his fucking eyes out at this point. All the while, the fire is guttering lower and lower. So my other cousin says, fuck it, and are about to go outside to get the generator out of a shed between the trailers. Tanner goes, fuck no, lock the front door. Ain't nobody else going outside. He's been crying, too, and his eyes are bloodshot and puffy, and his pants are dirty as shit. Are you ready?
Sure. I have to be, are you okay? Do I have a choice?
You have no choice.
Can I
you
skip ahead?
No, you can't. The tension is building. Now, this is more of my summarizing. Tanner had gotten permission from his dad, and the dad told him to take a rifle with them and to be really careful because they had seen an animal in their yard a few days before that had killed one of their pigs, or they found one of their pigs that was, quote, ripped up and half eaten. So they assumed it was like a big cat or a coyote. And Tanner still decides, nah, I don't need the gun. packs his stuff up, and then they head back down the trail. That's his. That's what happened.
Yeah, like when the kids went to go get permission to camp with them, they came back with no gun.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Right. Just take the gun. Obviously, you're in a horror movie. Haven't you already figured that out?
You're okay. In a creepypasta. You're on 4chan. Take a gun!
Yeah, for real. Take a gun if you're going to go to 4chan. Okay. Back to the narrator's account. So Rooster finally stops crying and shaking. The girl already had, but she was just staring out the window with a dumb look on her face.
That would be me.
Yes, that would be you. I'm shutting down now. I'm going to just stare out the window. I can't.
I'll be dissociating over here. Bye.
Bye. You guys figure it out. Okay. He says they had gotten halfway into the woods toward the camp when they started to hear shit in the forest. It was almost pitch black by this time, so they weren't sure at first what the fuck it was. The girl says she heard something in the bushes right off the trail, and they all beamed their flashlights over there, and there was someone standing back in the woods in a little hollow. Rooster said they shouted at him and told him that he was scaring the fuck out of them and what a dick he was.
All right, Rooster.
Get it, Rooster? He says that's when they realized the guy was facing away from them. Why? Why is that always so scary? Someone's back to you.
It just is. It gives me chills.
It's just, I don't like it. Okay. So they keep walking and they start smelling the nasty coppery ozone smell. They say that they look off into the forest on the opposite side, and there's a dude standing in the forest, backward, slightly closer to the path. So they start power walking, and Tan keeps going, I should have taken the fucking rifle.
Mm-hmm.
No shit. As they're telling the story, the smell is still super strong, even inside the cabin. They say that after they started walking faster, a kind of low gibbering had started coming from both sides of the wood.
Ew.
And as they... I just got chills. And as they started booking it back to the trailer, the girl said she had flashed her flashlight out into the woods to the side of them and had seen something jerking itself through the woods.
Jerking? I don't like it.
The gibbering just got louder and louder, and when they could see the light from the campfire, something had come out of the woods about 40 yards behind them onto the track, and they had just flat out run as hard as they could back to the trailer. Okay, so that's what's going on. That's what's happening. Are you okay?
So there's a cabin and a trailer.
Yes, there's more than one structure.
Okay, continue.
Okay. Here's me summarizing again. So one of the narrator's cousins named Junior tells the others about a story he heard from a native kid about something called the Goat Man, which is a man with the head of a goat who can shapeshift and loves to terrorize people. So that's fun.
He sounds like a peach.
Yes. So everybody's freaking out, and then eventually the smell goes away, and he says it doesn't fade away. It's just instantly gone. Like, they smell it 1 second, the next second, they don't smell it anymore.
Oh, no.
Which is disturbing.
That's not how smell works.
No, it's not. It shouldn't be. It's wrong. Stop it. Okay, so they all stay inside the trailer for like another hour or so, and then they get calmed down. They start being like, what really happened? Like, it's probably okay. So they go outside. They're like, it's probably just some rednecks messing with us. We can do this. Let's just stay the night. You know, they talk to themselves out of leaving. Mostly because they're also afraid that if there are people messing with them and they have to walk back to the house through the woods, that they're going to chase them or fuck with them, which, fair enough.
Right.
That sounds terrifying. So, and nothing else happens for the rest of, you know, that night and the next day. And so they're like, let's just stay another night. Obviously, that was just a weird occurrence. There's just some people messing with us.
Y'all are pushing your luck.
Well, here's the... result of pushing your luck. So at about 1 a.m, we're outside getting drunk and telling ghost stories. As someone is finishing some spooky story, I don't remember what about, the smell comes back. It's so fucking strong that one of the girls literally starts vomiting.
That, again, that's me.
Yes, you're dissociating and vomiting.
What a weekend.
Love it. Good camping trip. All right. I stand up, and you can actually feel how clammy the air is. I say we should get inside, and this isn't right. We should have just fucking left. We all go back inside, and we're just standing around. My cousin keeps going on and on about how it's the Goat Man, and my cousin Rooster tries to shut him the fuck up. All the while, I'm just feeling that something is wrong, and I can't figure out what the fuck it is. summarizing, for the second time, their kids are just huddled in the trailer, terrified for a while. So they're, and there's, remember, there's 11 of them, and they're all in this trailer, like, freaking out. But they're hungry, so they decide to cook some hot dogs. Brats, excuse me, some brats. They cook 12 brats. This is important because, as I said, there are only 11 people in the camper, right? So they all get one, and so there should have been one left after handing them all out, but there wasn't.
Mm, stop it.
Quoting the narrator, that's when the girl that had been out with Rooster and Tan just starts screaming, "Oh, Jesus! Oh, Lord! Get it out!" She's crying and shivering, and then it dawns on the cousin standing up, what the fuck is wrong? Me and him both glance around the room, and then I feel my heart fucking sink. I run the fuck out of the cabin, and the girl runs out with us. The trailer door is banging against the side of the trailer as everybody books it out of the cabin. One of my cousin's friends asked us what the fuck was wrong. I started counting us. There's only 11 now. To summarize the next little bit, a few of the others verify that there were indeed 12 people inside the trailer.
Oh,
the
wait.
Other people noticed it too.
There was a 12th person in there that they didn't...
Well, they don't know that until they all start running out because they were like, why is there no hot dogs left? That's weird. And right as they're realizing that, the girl starts screaming, get out, get out, get out. And so they just do it. They don't ask why. They just all start running.
Yeah, okay.
So when they get out there, they start talking and they're like, there were 12 people in there, right? There were 12 people in there.
Yeah.
And they didn't really notice this extra person for a while, probably because they were drunk. And also it was like mixed, you know how mixed groups of friends, you don't all really know each other that well.
Right. So, and you don't keep track of every person in the room all the time.
Right. And it's 1 o'clock and you're drunk.
That also means that somebody handed out a hot dog, a brat, to this 12th person and didn't really realize it.
Ugh. Yep. So, looking back on it, the narrator realizes that there was a person that nobody was really talking to or interacting with, and they had been there for at least a day just hanging out with them.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's the part where I'm like, come on, you would have noticed an extra person all day long, but if everybody's off into little groups and
drinking,
they're a bunch of drunk teenagers.
Or also maybe the whatever it is like fucking with their head a little bit.
I mean, it sounds like it when you get to the rest of the story. So they're understandably super freaked out. So they get a bunch of big sticks and they go check the other cabin. And they're thinking like maybe that person's hiding in there and it's totally empty. So they count themselves again. They're still at 11. So they go back into the trailer and lock the door. Inside the trailer, the girl who started yelling revealed that she started yelling because right as she was realizing there were too many of them inside the trailer, the person sitting next to her, quote, grabbed her leg hard and leaned over toward her and said something she couldn't understand.
Nah. There's too many people in here. Yeah.
I don't like it. Mm-mm. I mean, missing a person, that's definitely scary to realize that something scary is happening and you're down a person. But having an extra person is infinitely, like, and someone who is so nondescript, they're just blending in with everybody.
Ugh. Yeah, it's definitely way weirder.
It's really weird. Okay. More scary shit is going to happen. So get ready. Terrified, they huddle together and fall asleep. They start waking up around sunrise. Some of them want to leave right now. The rest of them, some of the other ones want to wait till the sun is fully up because they're like, no, it's too dark still. Some of them think the whole thing is silly bullshit and they're all freaking themselves out and they were drunk last night and they're like, let's just stay. The girl who got grabbed, her name is Kira. She wants to leave, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And so does the narrator. So everybody decides to split up and some stay and some will leave. But the narrator
splitting
realizes,
up, that's a great idea.
Great.
Always in a
great idea. So the narrator realizes that he has to stay because he has the keys to the cabin and he has to lock it when they leave. So three of them leave with Tanner, who's going to go get a rifle and then come back with the rifle. So by 4 o'clock, there are only 7 of them left. By 5:30, Tanner hasn't made it back to camp yet. And then the creepy shit hits the paranormal fan at this point.
Oh, no. Tanner, okay. Get back here.
He's coming. Quoting again from the narrator. It's about 5:30 p.m. or so when the one cousin that did stay says that the girl Kira is outside. So Kira left, remember? Kira, the girl who got grabbed, left at least by 4. So she's been gone for a hot minute with the other ones. We all look outside, and sure enough, she's standing by the fire pit with her back to the cabin.
No.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, if she was so fucking scared, why the hell would she come back? And then I get this nasty feeling in my gut. Keep in mind, the whole time, the coppery smell has been gone, and now I realize I can smell just a twinge of it. I say this to the rest of them, and everybody, and these are the people that wanted to stay in the fucking woods after we had the goddamn goat man in our midst. Everybody is laughing at me and asking if I set this up to scare them. Which, you know, I can understand how you would not want to believe something terrifying was happening. Yeah. So it's got to be a joke. So he says, I'm looking at them like, I'm not fucking bullshitting you at all right now. I ask them, why the fuck would I play like that? So one of the girls goes outside to get Kira.
No, she gets halfway.
I know, don't do it. She gets halfway to her and stops cold. Kira starts heaving. I don't know how the fuck to describe it. Sort of like if someone with their back turned was laughing without actually making any sound.
No,
I got chills again.
No.
It was this fact that made me realize there was not a sound in the whole woods. It was dead silent.
That's never a good sign.
No, that's a terrible sign. So I step out the door. I tell her to come back in the fucking trailer right goddamn now. So she backs up into the trailer and we lock the fucking door. We pull down all the shades except one and put a guy there in a chair to watch her. She stands there for another 20 minutes or so. The guy turns to say that she's still there and there's a huge fucking bang on the door. We all jump the fuck up and scramble around the living room of the trailer. The banging is super fucking loud. So now my cousin is holding one of the girls and the other two are kind of giggling with nervous laughter and me and the other two guys are shitting bricks. Then we hear Tanner. He's screaming, let me the fuck in. Stop fucking playing.
Oh.
So we go over to the door and open it, and he stumbles in with a rifle. There's nobody else outside. Evidently, he had walked up to the campsite. Nothing weird had happened in the forest, but he had seen a girl. Mind you, he said it was not Kira standing there. When he had gotten to the edge of the clearing, she had turned toward him with the slack-jawed look and just stared at him, slowly tracking him as he walked around the outside of the clearing toward the camp. He said it wasn't till he was almost halfway to the trailer he had realized that she was getting closer to him. She had started off by the fire, and without him even seeing her move, she had been turning, inching closer.
Ew!
No! Oh, God. I got goosebumps all over my arms. Okay. He said he had just ran the rest of the way back to the cabin thinking it would open. And when he got to the door and it was locked, he turned and it was about half the distance to the door. So it was even closer to him. So that's what happened to Tanner.
Oh, Tanner.
Inside the trailer. I know, right? At least he has the rifle. As if that's going to do anything against whatever this is. Inside the trailer, they realize that there are only 7 of them. With Tanner back, there should be 8. They look out the window, and there was no one there. Tanner had brought back his rifle and ammo and word that his cousin was going to come down in a few hours to help, and they could all hike back to his place in the morning and then go home from there. And the narrator says, now I'm really fucking terrified, but at least I feel better because we can be an American and shoot the fuck out of whatever it is if it comes back.
Okay.
But then my cousin gets into this huge argument with one of the girls because she thinks I'm trying to be funny and prank them, and that she's getting really scared and that I'm not funny. He keeps telling her I'm not that kind of person. And she says, well, how do we know the girl wasn't just Tanner in a wig? Or if it's really the goat man, how do we know that this is the real Tanner and that goat man just didn't kill Tanner in the woods and take his gun? So we get, I mean, fair argument. How do they know?
Yeah, lots of paranoia happening in that cabin.
Yes, yes. So we fucking get into a huge argument about this where me and Tan are like, we could seriously be in danger because at the very least someone has been sneaking themselves into our fucking trailer without us knowing and mingling with us. And at worst, something bad is in the forest fucking with us. One of the girls is crying and saying she wants to go right now. And we're trying to tell her we shouldn't because none of us are walking through the woods in the middle of the night. At this point, the sun is starting to go down and it's getting a little cloudy out. Okay, so they eat and they hang out, and then eventually Tanner's cousin, who's 19, shows up. He comes up to the trailer, and everybody inside is like, are you positive that's your cousin? And he's like, definitely. So they let the cousin in, and the cousin has another rifle and a lantern. Okay, quoting the narrator again, the guy looks behind him and all around the camp and then walks in. He kind of glances at all of us and looks a little confused. He says, where's your other little buddy at? I figured she would meet me up at the cabin. Is she a little slow or something? He also asked whether we had been cooking blood in the cabin because it smelled like blood and hot pans all the way up the trail. We are all like, fucking nope. But we ask him what the fuck he's talking about with the girl he saw. So he had come down the same trail Tan had been using, and he had come up on, quote, one of you guys' buddies. What is he, like a 40s gangster?
I don't know.
He came up on someone standing in the middle of the trail looking at him slack-jawed. Again, hate it. Don't hate, like, the slack-jawed.
No. Tighten up your jaw.
Tighten it up. Okay, he had asked her a bunch of questions, but all she did was just look at him. Then smiled at him, and he said he kept walking. She didn't seem to keep up with him and kept lagging a little behind him. He said he asked her if she was hurt or something and if she needed any help, but she had continued to stare. Eventually, he'd been walking and turned around a bend in the trail, but when he turned around and went back to see if she was okay, the trail was empty. He assumed she'd taken some shortcut through the woods to our trailer.
That's a lot of assumptions.
Everyone's making a lot of assumptions in this story. I would have gone home immediately. Like, it feels weird and it smells like blood. I'm out of here.
Yeah, bye.
And I don't even believe in this kind of stuff. Okay. So everybody fills the cousin in on what's been happening in their whole nightmare of a world. And then he continues telling them what he experienced. So he says when she had kept trying to lag behind him, it kind of weirded him the fuck out. So he tried to keep her in front of him, but no matter how slow he walked, she was always lagging a little behind.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
And that, so he'd smelled this nasty smell, and it got stronger as he got to camp. Eventually, it got really strong. She had said something really low that he didn't catch, and when he turned around, she had been right the fuck up on him, and he stepped back from her. It was at this point he asked her if she was okay, and if she wasn't, did she need him to carry her back the rest of the way, and she just kept staring. So, like, this guy is so nice. This girl is being a total creepazoid. You turn around, she's right in your face, and he's like, you want me to carry you back to camp? In a piggyback ride?
Yeah, he's oblivious. He hasn't been terrified for two nights.
No, he has no context. So he said he reached out for her as if to grab her on the shoulder, but he must have, quote, misjudged the distance because she was off to the side of where he had put his hand, like she had moved while he was looking dead at her.
Yeah, that's definitely some, like, mind games or something.
Yeah, so I hate creepy. It so much. It's so bad. I'm never sleeping again. Okay. So everybody's finally convinced that this is really happening. Thank goodness. So they load up all the rifles, they eat some food, and they just, like, hunker down. Like, okay, we're going to go in the morning, right? And the narrator says, to this fucking day, every time I think about this, I really pray to God that this is some huge prank that my cousin played on me and just never revealed, so I would shit for the rest of my life. I was going to cut that out, but I liked shit for the rest of my life, so I left it in.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I think I might shit for the rest of my life as a result of this story.
I mean, I hope we both do, because we will be very regular.
That's true. I don't want to stop shitting for the rest of my life. That would be definitely worse. Okay. At around 11, the stink of copper turns into an actual nasty, gross, blood-like smell, like cooking blood and singed hair.
That's a terrible smell.
So disgusting. Tan and his cousin Reese get the fuck up instantly and grab their rifles. Good job. Good Americans. there's like a half knocking, half clawing at the door, and I shit you not, there's this voice, and it sounds like when you see those YouTube cats and dogs whose owners teach them how to talk.
Oh,
it says
no.
In this halting, weirdly toned voice, let me the fuck in. Stop fucking playing.
No.
Yeah. Which is, if you remember, exactly what Tanner said when he knocked on the door.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It made my fucking nuts creep up inside my body. I love this kid. One of the girls just starts crying and calling on Jesus. You know, I get it. I'd be getting my prayer rug out right then.
All
right.
I hope you brought it camping with you.
I'm going to take it everywhere now, just in case I meet a goat man. It was so fucking obviously not a person talking. It didn't have the right cadence. And that's some shit I never realized until that moment. But all people have a certain cadence when they talk, no matter what language. All people have a certain kind of rhythm to talking. That shit didn't have any kind of cadence or rhythm. Mm-hmm. One of those YouTube cats. That's what the fuck it sounded like outside the door. So now I'm in full-on terror mode. We keep yelling outside, "Who is it? Stop fucking around, man." And it just keeps saying, "In," or "Let me the fuck in."
No.
For almost 15 minutes. Okay, and here the narrator inserts a YouTube link of a cat talking. He says it sounds like that, but not funny. Would you like to hear it?
I was gonna say, can you please play it?
All right, ready?
Yeah. Oh my God. That's a cat. Oh, I hate it. I don't like it.
Okay, I'll stop it.
Oh, yeah. It's not, I can't see the cat. I'm just picturing something outside of a door.
Yeah. Yeah. I sat in my living room for a minute after, as I was doing my research, and I was like, can I make that noise and say it like, "Let me the fuck in"? I can't even do it as creepily as... Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I was about to just, like, rip my earbuds out.
Oh, gosh.
I'm creeped out.
It's really creepy. Okay, it's almost over.
Ooh.
I think. It is. We're almost there. You can do it.
Okay.
I believe on you.
I'm gonna cry. Okay,
deep breath. All right, I'm going to read the narrator's account again. So then the smell goes away for a while, and for the next hour or so, you can hear someone basically creeping around in the woods and shit. Every couple minutes, it'll come back to the door and say something, which is like, I think I would just lose my tenuous grasp on my sanity or reality or something. I don't think I could handle this. Finally, when the smell fades away, it's around 2 a.m. Reese says, "Man, fuck this," and opens the door and walks outside with his rifle. He fires a shot into the air and says something to the effect of, "In the name of Jesus Christ, go away!" He fires 2 more times, and then from the woods right up against the river across from the trailer, it sounds like something is slowly gibbering and hooting.
Mm-mm.
Then it starts screaming, and it sounds almost like a woman and a cat in a bag screaming together.
Okay. They have to be in a bag.
Yes, it has to be a woman and a cat, both in a bag, screaming.
God, that sounds awful. Okay.
Yes, it does. Like, I seriously have never heard any shit like that. And you can hear the brush over that way start to shake. Reese fires into the tree line and then starts backing into the house. We lock the door, and we can hear the shit keening and screaming. Reese says something had come out of the bushes, super low to the ground, and crawled toward the cabin. And he had shot at it. So now it's crawling low to the ground. It's just doing all of the creepy stuff. It's
Stop
jerking.
It.
It's staring. It's laughing with no noise. I hate it. Okay. So the screaming and creeping noises continue for the next 2 hours, but it doesn't come close to the trailer again. And at this point, Tanner is on lookout duty and everybody else is asleep. So he's the only one awake. And the narrator says, Tanner said he had been nodding off after the screaming and noises finally stopped. And he'd have been almost asleep when he saw someone come out of the bathroom and then lay down in the middle of the floor and go to sleep. He just assumed it was one of us, and he had nodded off. Then he said he kind of realized something was wrong, and while pretending to be asleep, he counted us. There were 9 people in the cabin.
Ah!
Just laying there sleeping, pretending to be asleep next to you. Stop. Okay. He basically didn't want to try to shoot at the fucking thing in the cabin and have it kill us all then and there, or have Reese wake up and start shooting and then we kill ourselves. So he just stayed awake all night pretending to be asleep. He said, this is so bad. Oh, God. Okay. He said, sometimes it would stand up and kind of do this weird jittery thing or heave like it was laughing, but then it would lay back down.
Ah!
God.
Okay.
So the story closes pretty weak because from my perspective, nothing happened. We woke up and then I noticed Tan was a little jittery and that he was avoiding looking at all of us. But we ate some breakfast, packed up, and started walking to his house. He stayed last in the cabin, said he'd lock up and bring me my uncle's keys to just start walking and he'd catch up. Which I didn't really want to fucking do. That's, yeah, no, don't leave anybody behind. We got up a little bit up the path, and when he came running up, basically we just jogged the whole way back to his house. His cousin took us home. So there was a window in the bathroom. Tan had gone to lock up and looked in there. We were too stupid to lock a screenless window. The window was fucking up when he went in there. I'm guessing it had been doing that all along, waiting for us to fall asleep or slip up and then getting in among us. It walked with us all the way back to his house.
What?
And then he said it lagged to the back of the group and looked him dead in the eyes before walking into the woods.
Why? Why?
Why? But why? No.
Oh, Lord, that is so spooky. I hate it.
I knew you would. So there are a few theories floating around on the internet about what this thing actually is. And they're not going to make you feel any better.
Oh, great.
I don't have any science turds or historical research or anything to help you feel any better.
Just have and terrible I'm very theories. Sorry.
So somebody on Reddit suggested it was the spirit of a human child who had died there centuries ago, which is why it was trying to just like hang out with them and follow them around because it was lonely. And I was like,
that's awful.
I guess
sad.
That's
oh,
sad, no. But still too scary. Yeah. Of course, a skinwalker, or in internet lore, also known as a flesh gate, G-A-I-T. A wendigo, or basically any other kind of shape-shifting forest spirit. And that's pretty much it. It's either a ghost or a shape-shifting forest spirit. Or it's an internet creepypasta written by a funny teenager who tells a good story. Okay, are you okay? Are you all
yeah,
right?
I'm fine.
You just looked over to the side so quickly, and you looked terrified. I was like, oh, God.
My window's open, or my blinds are open. I can see outside.
Can you see the
woods? I should probably close
yeah,
the fucking
no!
door, the window. I should close the blinds.
That's what okay. if you looked out there, and nope. I was standing in your yard with my back to you?
I can't see out there anymore, so
you close the blinds. That. Okay, fuck I guess that. I have to ask you if any of that is real.
I hope not. No, I really...
I don't think it is.
Sincerely hope that none of that is real. Like, at all. I hope yep, nobody ever even went camping. That whole weekend, that kid was just writing a story about camping.
I hope this was written by a 56-year-old woman named Sharon in Oklahoma.
In her suburban... Oh. One of those
with
rooms.
With all the lights on.
One of those, like, furnished attics made into a little blogging room. Okay. That's what it was.
That's what it was, everybody. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. Should we ask the Magic 8-Ball anything?
I don't know. Are you okay?
I'm really... Well, I was already kind of... I told you, like a spring, like a...
Oh, no. This is a bad idea.
And now I'm just like... What's that? What is that? Is Sarah standing outside?
Oh,
that's
God.
Not Sarah.
Oh, no. And is Jay at work?
Yes.
Oh, no. Okay. You can call me later.
You have to start driving up here right now before... Get here now before it gets dark.
Get here before dusk, please. I can't.
Hurry. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to ask the Magic 8-Ball, am I going to be okay? Yes, it says yes.
Oh, you're gonna be fine.
Oh, thank you,
because it's not real. Remember, oh. Sharon wrote it.
Sharon, why are you so spooky?
Sharon is a spooky bitch.
Okay, oh. Well, for the love of God, If y'all have any spooky camping stories that may or may not be that creepy, email us.
Oh, please send us all your good camping stories or stories of extra people hanging out in your group.
Oh my God, yeah, wow. The time you realized someone else was there that you didn't know was there. That's never happened to me.
I hate it.
But no. Okay.
If it has happened to me, it's been a creepy dude who just was trying to cling on.
Write us, please, at noneofthisisrealpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can DM us on Instagram, and while you're there, look at all the weird stuff we post.
Yeah, check out our Patreon. We are adding some additional content. April 6th, I think, is the day the first one comes out. Additional content, special merch, archived episodes. So go check it out. It's patreon.com/noneofthisisreal. And
oh yeah, also you get our Globsterotica.
Oh Lord.
And we are to cleanse the palate from the creepypasta. Go ahead and get on Patreon so you can read us talk sexually explicit globster talk.
Yeah. And you can hear me read it too if you really want.
You can. It's a treasure. Also we are offering advertising for your side hustle or your craft or your small business. So we're trying to support our turkey buzzards and their creative endeavors.
And it is much, much less expensive than most advertising, I will say. So check it out.
This is very true.
And what else? We do have merch on Redbubble as well. Just look for None of This Is Real.
We do.
And
yep. Thank you, Michaela DeLeon and Gil Davis,
for that spooky theme song. And I think, if you could rate and review us, please
that
give
would
us
be great.
A good old rate, a little R&R, a rate and review.
Yeah, what she said.
And other than that, I want to remind you all that you do not have to believe anything that Sarah Sinkhole just told you. Okay?
That's good advice. Don't believe anything I just said for your own sanity. But do believe on yourself.
Oh, gosh. Believe all over yourself. Like the smell of ozone and blood. And
like hot blood you just cooked in your camper.
Okay.
Oh, God. I'm so... Okay.
Bye.
Bye. We love you. Sorry.
End like that?
Oh, let's listen to it.
Yeah.